May 25th, 2020. It's Monday. Happy Memorial Day. I just want to say hi and recognize all of our veterans out there. Happy Memorial Day. And also would like to take a special moment to remember and honor all our fallen military heroes. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, I hope you are all having a wonderful Memorial Day. I was supposed to play tennis this morning, but got canceled because of the rain. But I managed to walk on the Ringling Bridge, the Sarasota Ringling Bridge. It was a beautiful day. There was no sun, so it was great. I didn't have to wear my gardener suit, but I also wore my mask, which is not bad. And after the walk, I took my dance trance class. It was on Zoom. So for almost 2 months now, our amazing dance trance teachers hooked us up on Zoom, and I've been taking dance trance classes via Zoom, and it was great. Shout out to Courtney, Candice, and Sandy. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing the dance trance classes. Dance is very, very important to me. I think with dancing, it improves my tennis footwork. And so today, while I was walking and dancing, I thought I will do a tennis footwork episode. There are many exercises, including dancing, that a tennis player can benefit from in improving tennis footwork. So I love dancing, I love Zumba, I love dance trance, and just play the music and I will dance. So after this episode, I played a little medley of our dance trance class. So maybe you can enjoy it and dance to it. And also, I will include a vinyasa yoga session that I do on a regular basis, like once or twice a week. It's pretty cool. Gives me a little amazing stretch after a cardio. So I was looking at the optimumtennis.net website, and they have a really nice blog there about tennis footwork exercises and agility drills that are beneficial regardless of age. Like, of course, I'm a senior citizen, I don't mind, but I still want to improve my footwork, so why not, right? And that's why dancing is really important to me. So here are some few pointers to improve tennis footwork. Number one, jumping rope. Jumping rope tennis footwork exercise. The way when you jump, I guess that improves your alertness and endurance. Everybody is familiar with how to execute jumping rope exercises because it's a very old exercise. Anyone can do that, right? Maybe. And the next one is split step tennis footwork exercise. Split step is one of the most common footwork used when you play tennis. The objective of this split step footwork exercise is to develop your anticipation capability, because in a tennis game, good anticipation as to where your opponent will hit the ball is very important. This exercise will also improve your agility when you are already on the court. Next one is agility ladder tennis footwork exercise. When I used to take cardio tennis, they had that agility ladder, and that was really cool. I got tired easily though, but I thought it was fun. I felt like a kid playing. The main purpose of the agility ladder exercise is to improve your foot speed and to improve your body control. Just like the jumping rope exercise, you need time to develop confidence in doing the ladder agility exercise. And next one is single leg run. The tennis footwork exercise is performed by moving up the ladder with only one foot, stepping each ladder step. And then you can also do double leg run with the ladder agility. And that is performed by moving up the ladder with your two step, stepping on each of the step of the ladder. Same as the single leg run, this exercise has to be done in a fast speed. Double side step. This ladder footwork exercise is accomplished either by single leg run or double leg run. The icky shuffle. To do this agility ladder exercise, you have to step with your left and right foot on each step of the ladder. So you can either step with your left foot or right foot first, and instead of going straight to the second step after your feet have stepped on the first step, step your left if you step first your left foot. Then outside the ladder to the left. Then continue with the double leg run in the second step. And they said things to remember when you do tennis footwork exercises: spread your legs at shoulder wide apart and do not land on your toes, but on your foot balls. Do not just put your hands on your side, but try to move them while you are doing the exercise. Position your elbows near to your body and don't look down, but always have your head up. Just glance every now and then in the ladder. Here's the last one, the lateral movement tennis footwork exercise. This tennis footwork exercise imitates the footwork used in actual tennis matches. This footwork exercise is performed with the use of the same ladder above, which I just mentioned. In this exercise, you have to start at the left corner of the first step of the ladder. Then step into the first step with your left foot first and the right foot. Now your 2 feet are in the ladder. The next stage is to step out of the ladder to your right with your right foot first and then your left foot. The next stage then is to step to the outside left of the second step. This means that you have to move your feet diagonally, then step inside the ladder and repeat the same process until you reach the top. All right, everyone, I hope you didn't feel like
Salzenstein, founder of Tennis Evolution, former top 100 ATP pro, and I want to help you get more clear on how you can improve your footwork so you can move around the court more efficiently and more effortlessly. And in today's video, I'm going to give you five steps to help you with your footwork. Step number one is the split step. And there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misconceptions around the split step. I want to give you one tip around it today. So the idea, and I see a lot of problem players making this mistake, the idea is to actually be in the air when your opponent strikes the ball. A lot of players think that they should be on the ground when their opponent makes contact, but you actually want to initiate the split step early before they make contact, so you're in the air when contact is made. So when you're in the air and they make contact, then you can push off in any direction. The ball has already been struck when you're in the air. You want to be coming down, the ball hits the ground, sorry, the feet hit the ground, the ball's already left the racket so that you can move in either direction. There's a timing to this. Most players are too late with their split step. They're actually on the ground when the ball is being struck, and the reaction time is slower. That's step number one. I want you to focus on that. Step number two, to improve your footwork is I want you to have a wide base. A lot of players are very narrow when they come out of their split. So I want to make sure that you're in a wide base, you're in a strong base where the feet, okay, the feet are outside the shoulders. So you want to make sure that you're in a wide base when you're playing, when you come out of the split. You also want to be in a wide base when you get out wide for balls. So if I move out wide here, I see a lot of players finish and their feet are about this wide. We need to get this foot outside of this shoulder so that we can push off and get ready for the next shot. Again, common patterns that I've seen with this wide base is that almost everyone is too narrow. So one reason players are too narrow is because they're not aware of how their body should feel. They're not aware that they should have these feet outside the shoulders, okay? On many occasions. Yes, there's a time to step in and be upright, and I teach that, but when you're playing in a dynamic fashion, you want to get into that wider base. And the only way you can do that is if you have strong legs. So make sure that you're doing the appropriate strength exercises for your legs and your lower body. A lot of single leg stuff would really help you a lot. Single leg squats, Bulgarian squats, any type of squats where you're practicing being wider with your feet outside the shoulders, okay? That's step number two, okay? Step number three to help you with your footwork is to take bigger steps. I know I'm probably gonna take some heat for this one for all the coaches out there that say take little steps to the ball, but I'm sorry, I'm not seeing that with the pros. Been studying the game for a long time. I've watched a lot of video footage. I've worked with pros. I've seen them move, and I've practiced it on myself. And yes, there's a time and a place to make little adjustment steps, but I think more players need to practice taking bigger steps. And the way to do that is to have a strong first move. So an example that I can give you of taking bigger steps, and this relates usually with balls where you're moving out wide, is that when you come out of the split step, assuming you're in a wide base, look, I'm in a wide base, I can really drive and make a strong first move to the ball. A lot of players come out of their split and then they take little steps to get out to the ball, and that takes too much time, especially when the ball is coming faster and faster. As you keep ascending and going to the next level with your game, you're going to have to learn how to take these bigger strides, strides that have more rhythm to them. So when I come out of the split, I take a big first move. I make a big step, okay? So I cross over, and then the next step is pretty big. So you can see that if I move at a good clip here, watch me move out of the split. I split. I'm able to get to the single sideline with two big steps. Watch this again. I come out of the split, one, two, and then I hit the ball and I shuffle. A lot of players, they come out of the split and they try to do this to get to the ball, and that takes too much time and there isn't enough rhythm behind it. So these bigger steps are huge, and it usually starts with the first move. If I have to move up to a ball and I come out of the split, I want to take a bigger step. It's this little step at the beginning that really slows momentum down. It's taking little adjustment steps at the end of the shot that throws your rhythm off. If you study the top pros, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, they are taking bigger steps to get to the ball. Yes, if the ball is close, okay, there are little adjustment steps to be made. And I teach that and I believe in that, but not enough emphasis is being mentioned or focused on with taking these bigger steps to cover more ground, whether you're running straight ahead, diagonal, even if I have to drop and go back. A little drop step in a big crossover allows me to cover a lot of ground. When people are moving back, a lot of times they just turn and they do this stuff. So we have to learn how to take those bigger strides, okay, those bigger steps, that bigger first move. Now, that's step number three. Step number four to improve your footwork is shadow strokes and shadow footwork. When I was in my late 20s, I lived in California in Palm Springs, and a lot of times it was 120 degrees out, no one would play with me. So I went out to a public park, very similar to this, we're at a public park right now, and I would just work on my shadow strokes and my footwork. And so I would move around the court, and I would just repeat a pattern like this every time. And I would just work on it. I'd come up, square up, I'd drop back, I'd go here. And you can see there's a rhythm to my movement. I'd come here on my backhand, boom. All right, a little shuffle step, and then I step in, boom. All right, then I cross over, and then I square up, boom. All right, so I would play with 1, 2, 3 shot combos. Maybe I run up for a low ball here, boom. All right, I come to the net, and I knock off some volleys. But I was very precise with my footwork. I had studied the pros, I had seen how they moved, and that helped me develop the footwork system that I teach at Tennis Evolution. So if you've been struggling with your footwork, and so many coaches are telling you, hey, just move your feet, well, I'm gonna show you how to move your feet. I'm gonna give you the breakdown, I'm gonna give you the attention to detail, the specifics, how to move on the baseline, how to transition forward, how to move at the net, how to serve and recover, how to use your footwork on return to serve. I studied all of it. And a lot of it starts with shadow strokes. No one spends enough time with the shadow strokes. I shouldn't say no one. Very few people spend enough time on the shadow strokes and the footwork. Very few people spend time studying video and then going out and trying to model that footwork. I've done both. I've done the shadow footwork, and I've also studied the videos. So that's step number 4, is to practice your shadow strokes and your footwork with the precise footwork. Hopefully you're studying the footwork that I teach over at Tennis Evolution. Step number 5, and this one's an interesting one. And again, probably some disagreement out there, but that's okay. We're all open to different opinions. You just need to go out on the court and see what works for you. And this step number 5 has to do with rhythm and arriving at the appropriate time. I believe that we should arrive at the appropriate time depending on the speed of the ball. So, if the ball is coming really fast, then I need to move fast to get there. But if the ball is coming slow, I don't feel that you should move really fast to get over there and wait and slow all of your momentum down. I think you should move to the rhythm of the ball. So if the ball comes really fast, okay, I'm gonna get there really quickly, right? Okay, I'm gonna get there. If the ball is slower, I wait, and then I arrive at the correct time to be able to load and rotate into the shot. But if I'm dealing with a slow ball, and I get over there really fast, which I see a lot, and then I have to wait, and then I swing, then there could be some issues with rhythm, timing, and tempo. I'm all about rhythm, timing, and tempo with movement and even with the swinging of the racket. Okay, so see if you can practice moving quickly when the ball comes quick and moving more deliberately, maybe even slower in rhythm, and arrive, load this leg at the right time, right before you're supposed to accelerate and hit the ball, okay? Very, very important to try to get the rhythm and the timing and the tempo down with the movement. So those are the 5 steps. I've gone over them, gone over the split step. The timing of the split step. I've gone over making sure you have a wide base. I've covered taking bigger steps or strides or making a bigger first move. I've talked about shadow footwork. And finally, I've talked about rhythm and arriving at the right time. Those are 5 powerful keys, 5 powerful steps that can help your tennis footwork. I'm here to help you guys. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson.
Thank you.
With our first sun salutation. So come to the top of your mats. Spread the toes wide in Tadasana. Root your legs down like a strong tree. Pull the navel to the spine, hands in prayer, and here we go. Inhaling up. Exhale, swan dive forward. Inhale, look up. Exhale, bend the knees and step back with the left leg, softening down onto the knee and softening your toes. And we'll get into the first stretch, stretching into the hip flexor. 3 breaths. Fingertips lined up with the toes. Tuck the back toes. Step back to plank. And from here you go knees, chest, and chin. Into baby cobra. Feet are flat. Inhaling up, 2 breaths. Elbows pulling back. Release down. And this time what we're going to do is point the toes, bend the knees, and lift the knees slightly off the floor. This is very challenging. Open to butterfly, stretch the legs out to a V, pull them together, Exhale, pushing the floor away, soften the knees, take a look up at your hands, and step forward with your left foot. Soften down on the right knee with the right foot long. Line the fingers up and enjoy that wonderful stretch in the hip flexor on the opposite side. Breathing in, ujjayi. That Darth Vader breath that we learned in the first disc. One more breath. Tuck the toes under. You're going to step forward, feet together, head down. Inhale, swan dive up. Exhale to prayer. Let's build on that. So sun salutation number two, you inhale up, exhale forward. Inhale lift, exhale bend. Step back to a low lunge, this time with the arms up to the sides. Breathing in, exhaling. Reach those arms up nice and high. And on this level, we're going to start to arch back. So we add a back bend. We come back forward. You tuck the back toes. We come to plank. We go to the first chaturanga. And from here, we go into the first up dog. So we're pushing the mat away with the arms. We're breathing. Our legs are long. We tuck the toes. We come to downward facing dog. And we breathe here. Two more breaths, everybody. So if you look at Kim, her shoulders are broad, her arms are strong, and she's pushing the mat away so that she can work the heels down to the mat. From here, everyone, bend your knees, take a look up, and step forward with the left foot, dropping down on the back leg with soft toes, and inhale up. So in the first disc, we started off really up higher, and as you increase in flexibility and strength, you can go even more into range. Arms up. Back bending back. Listen to your body. Don't go any further than you feel comfortable. Hands in front. Tuck the toes. Step forward. Forward bend. And then swan dive up. Exhale to prayer. So from here, we move on to yet another sun salutation. And this time, we're going to add the chair. So we come down, bending the knees. Bring the arms in front. And almost sit back into your heels. And you have the option here of trying Kapalabhati. So let's just do five as a practice. Inhale. Press up prayer. Swan dive forward. Inhale, look up. This time step back to a straight leg low lunge. So you can either keep your fingertips raised like this or flat palms. It's up to you. And now from here, what we're going to do is we're going to step our back foot out a little bit. Use the abdominals to lift up to a full lunge. This is more challenging. And we add airplane arms. Inhale up, exhale down. Inhale, lift. Strong legs, lines of energy coming up through the legs. Arms go down. We plug the arms into the sockets and we lift. And we breathe. Tucking the pelvis underneath you, using the abdominals. From here, forward fold, step back to plank, come down to chaturanga, into up dog. We're really creating heat now, and we're breathing. Two breaths. Abdominals lifted, tuck the toes, press back to downward facing dog. Look up at your hands, step through, foot in between the hands. Come to low lunge and stay here just to acclimate to that stretch. Abdominals lifted, try not to sink. Really lift the sheath of the quadricep up if you can. Step the foot out to the side a little bit. Use the abdominals and lift up to low lunge. So from here, you press up to straight legs. You exhale down. Building the strength in the legs as you really create energy, a circulating energy through the body. Inhale down, plug the arms in, and arms go up. Breathing here. A deep ujjayi breath. Fold forward, step the back foot forward, head down. we go. Front step. Forward fold. Head down. Inhale up. Step back this time into warrior one. So you're going to lift up. You saw this in Embark on the Journey. Interlace your fingers. Point your finger up. And this time we do a slight back bend. Hips coming to the front of the mat. Everything squares off. Open to warrior two. So I like to straighten the knee before we begin this. Orient the hips. Make sure that front foot bisects the back leg. Then bend the knees. Then stretch the arms. And we're going to do a vinyasa, which means a flow. We go into moon warrior. We exhale over into side angle pose, using the elbow to align the knee, looking up. Inhaling up. Exhaling over. This feels really wonderful on the spine. Inhaling up. Exhaling over. We stay here on side angle, and now the arm will come in front of the body. So you're going to come sweeping down and up, and take a peek under your arm to really get the full extension of this pose. From here, come back up to warrior two. You really have to use this leg strongly to come up. From here, we windmill the arms down, and we're going to come to down dog only in between. So stay in down dog, everybody. As you continue to build heat in yoga, it's not essential that you push yourself at every turn. So if you want to skip the flow through a chaturanga into up dog, you can just go directly into down dog. It's a nice little shortcut. So from here, we're going to step the left foot forward, turn the back toes out of the opposite foot of your right, and lift up to warrior one. So sinking deeply in the legs, but lifting energy up. From here, turn open to warrior two. Shift the hips, get that foot in proper alignment, and bend the front knee. So once again, you don't want to be too far back or too far forward, but right in the middle of your legs. Moon warrior, inhaling up. Exhale, side angle pose. Moon warrior up. Side angle over. One more time. Lifting up. Coming down. Stretch the arm up to the ceiling. And then swing the arm down and across and under. So what you want to try to do is open the chest to the ceiling while still really listening to your body and not pushing it. So from here, lift up to warrior two. Take a deep breath in. Windmill down. Let's go through the vinyasa. Plank, chaturanga, into up dog. Oof. Feeling warm yet? So we're really creating some heat or tapas to move emotional energy out of the body. Press back to down dog. Middle fingers facing forward. And from here, I'd like us all to walk forward to our hands. Swan dive up. Open. Exhale. And pause. So from here, we're going to go to triangle. I'd like you to step your right foot back. You're going to turn the toes of the back foot in. The front foot bisects the back, just like warrior two, and the arms go side. So just like in level one, the hip pulls out, we reach over that leg, and now because we're more advanced and more flexible, we're going to lower our hand position on the leg as we look up. Now as we do this position, as we're in this triangular pose, we want to make sure that the ribs, I'm going to pull your ribs back a lot into my hand, beautiful. The ribs are not splaying, and the hip is opening here. So from here, we're going to use the power of the abdominals to lift back up to standing, and we're going to switch to the other side. So turn the toe to the left foot in, right foot goes out, shift the hip, inhale, exhale over to the other side. So another word on the triangle. When you're in this position, don't just sit with your hand into the supporting leg. You want to use the power of the abdominals and the glutes to kind of pull away from the reverse triangle. So we're going to take our arm up. We're going to forward bend, pulling the abs in, and take the hand either to the big toe side of that front foot, or if you're more advanced, to the baby toe side, and you spiral the other arm up to the ceiling, trying to keep the sacrum, the low back, really even. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Now bend the front knee to soften it, take pressure out of it, spiral up, and we're going to go the other way. So we turn the right toes out, we turn the left toes in, we take the left arm up overhead, facing the body forward towards the back wall. We inhale here, exhale, we fold forward, and we take that left hand on the big toe side of our foot. And in this position, what I would have Rick do, for instance, is I'd have him come back up. Kim and Ahmad can stay. I'd have him step his foot out to the left just a little bit more. Exactly. And pull that front foot in just a bit more so that you have a broader base. And then I would have your left arm come up, forward fold. And then you would twist the right arm up to the ceiling here. One more breath, everybody. So from here, you're going to lift that arm up to the ceiling, coming back up, face the center, bring your feet parallel, and then turn back one more time, and we do a really wonderful exercise. It's forward, straight leg stretch. So again, step the legs out, everybody. Just mimic this position. Have your hands on your hips facing forward. Take a breath in, expand the chest to the ceiling. Inhale. Exhale, forward fold. And just take your hands on either side of that front foot. And from here, again, listen to your body. But you're going to release down as far as you can in a stretch over that front leg. Three breaths. From here, lift your eyes, chin, and chest. Hands on the hips, use your abdominals to lift up, and let's switch to the other side. Feet come parallel, we switch. Turning the back toes in, both hips are facing front. Make sure you step that left foot out to your left for more support. And then, take a breath and expand the chest. Exhale over, forward bending. Take the hands on either side of the foot, and release the head down. So while my friends are stretching, I want to just give you a word. If you have tight hamstrings, chances are you're not going to be able to fold over like the dancers. So what you want to do is keep this front leg bent and just release as far as your body allows you to. The point here is to breathe. Send a focused breath through the muscles so they start to give. Last breath, everybody. And from here, the hands come up to the hips, lifting up to a tall spine, facing front, and let's step the feet together at the front of the mat. Okay, so from here, we're going to shake the legs out a little bit, and we're going to go to a more challenging pose, which is standing balance front and side. So this really bumps things up to the next level. The precursor to this would be the tree, which we saw on the first disc. carry the leg out to the side. I reach my arm out. I turn my gaze. I bring the leg back to the front. Clasp the knee and release. Good. Shake it out. Great job. So from here, we're going to come to the front edge of the mat. Do one final sun salutation. Inhale. Exhale forward. Head up. And just walk back to down dog, everybody. And come onto your belly for the bow. So I'm not going to demonstrate this. I'm going to have my friends demonstrate it. What we're going to do is release the arms behind us. Turn the cheek to one side or the other. It's your choice. And just rock the hips out for a moment. Take a breath. And from here, you're going to bend your knees. You're going to grab your ankles. Try to keep the knees squeezed together here. Long neck. Take a deep breath in. And you're going to press the feet against the hands to lift the upper body off the mat and the legs. And we're going to stay in this pose for two breaths. As you breathe naturally here, you may start to rock. And Kim will demonstrate this. So she inhales and lifts up, exhales going forward. And this actually creates an amazing intestinal massage. So everyone's going to pause, release arms and legs like you're flying. Legs are straight, arms are straight. Release the arms down. Turn your cheek the other way. Rock your hips out. So this exercise is really beneficial for the low back, but if you have any pain when you begin, just pause. And you can do a variation, which we saw on the other level, the beginner, which is bow. Looks just like this, okay? But everyone else, let's do one more bow. Bending your knees, holding onto your ankles. Take a deep breath in, and exhale, press your feet into your hands and lift eyes, chin, and chest. So you can see with Rick here that he's just looking straight ahead when he's doing this exercise. He's not looking up. He's keeping a nice long neck, and he's expanding the chest and building strain in the spine. So from here, we stretch the arms and legs behind, we release everything down, and we press back to child's pose, and we rest. So once again, the resting poses are really, really vital when you're doing these exercises. One more breath. Uncurling through the spine here. And let's come to sit at the front edge of our mat to do head to knee. So we're going to take the legs long. We're going to bring the right foot into the inside of the leg. The knee should just release down. If your knee is up still, you can use a towel as a prop to cushion it. So let's take the arms up, breathing in. Exhale, come as far forward as you can, either to the foot or down along either side of the leg, and bow the head. So as my friends continue to stay there and breathe, I'll just say a word about forward bending poses. When you do any kind of forward bending in yoga, it speaks to self-introspection, self-examination. So if you have tightness in the hamstring or the back, it's worth examining and trying to see. So one more breath. And then take your arms out straight in front of you, everyone, and lift them up, open them up, and let's switch to the other side. So bring that other foot to the inside of the thigh, flex the opposite foot, try to release the knee down, just let it go as far as it can. Inhale up, exhale, forward fold, head down. So again, like any yoga pose, like any Pilates movement, like any dance movement, one side of your body will always be stronger than the other. So try to meet the side with restriction, with patience, and with kindness, and with breath. Two more breaths. Reach those fingertips out, lifting up nice and tall. Stretch the other leg out. Let's shake them out. And let's windshield wipe the feet like this, which really releases in the hip flexors. And let's come to a spinal twist on the back. So everyone, you're going to lie down onto your back, shift forward onto your mats, hug the knees into your chest, take the arms out to your sides, plant your palms down on the mat, take a breath here, and as you exhale, the knees will fall gently over to the right as you opposite side. Take your gaze over the right shoulder and try to breathe into the low spine, into that twist. And just think of all the remarkable rejuvenative benefits that the spinal twist is providing for your body. Really stirring the intestines, massaging the stomach, and of course making the spine more fluid. Inhale here, exhale, draw the knees back into center. Release the legs down in front of you. Open your legs hip-width apart. Sweep your arms down by your sides. Close your eyes. In Shavasana. So even though we don't have time for a yin practice, a cooling practice, it's nice after having heated the body like this to give the body a chance to just release. So we're going to stay here for two more breaths. Feeling the weight of our body giving into gravity. And then deepen the breath, everybody. Take your hands over your chest, interlace your fingers, and then extend your arms overhead for a big stretch. Bring your feet together, flex them hard. Inhale, exhale, sweep the arms around the body, hug the knees into the chest. And then feet go flat on the mat, holding on behind your thighs, do a little curl up from Pilates to sit up. And please come and sit on your knees. Now, if it's uncomfortable for you to sit on your knees, there's always this option of just sitting in a cross-legged position. Okay? So we're on our knees, if possible. We're going to inhale up. Exhale down. One more time. Inhale up. Having completed.
That was an awesome Balanced Flow Vinyasa Yoga by Jennifer Kreese. Thank you.
Swing my heart across the line, and my face is free. flashing signs. Seek it out, ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told.
All begin.